Welcome to Flunking the Written, a fully spoiled Buffy the Vampire Slayer podcast in which two Uber fans break down every episode of the show. Join Kimberly and Megan every other Tuesday as they overanalyze each scene and discuss the Buffyverse at large. Now let's meet up with the Scoobies and get into this episode of Flunking the Written.
What can I say? I flunked the written.
All right, Kim, it is time to get into our discussion of Graduation Day Part 1, which was written by Joss Whedon and directed by Joss Whedon. And the DVD blurb is, "To distract Buffy and keep her from interfering with the mayor's ascension, Faith shoots Angel with an arrow whose poison can only be cured by the blood of a slayer."
Well, there you go.
There you go. That's the episode. We can just skip it.
Yeah, it told everything this time.
So I don't have a lot of notes for this episode other than I like this episode. I like it.
I like it too. I don't have a whole lot of notes either. I was thinking that as I was going through it. I'm not writing a bunch of stuff down, but I've actually noticed the ones that we say we don't have a lot of notes on are the ones we end up talking about the most.
Yeah, maybe I'll be inspired in the moment, but as I was watching through this, I was just like, this is a solid episode. I like it all around. Just good, solid episode, but it's not awe-inspiring and it doesn't make me angry, so I don't know what I'm going to talk about.
Okay. Well, it starts out in the school and the students are beside a table that is covered with caps and gowns and they are signing a sheet and getting theirs. I don't know if they like rent them for graduation. We actually, when I graduated high school, we bought ours. Like they gave us a catalog and told us which color to get and we ordered it our own and had to pay for it and everything. I think I might still have mine somewhere, like in a trunk with a bunch of old yearbooks and stuff somewhere.
Oh, what color was it?
Maroon.
It was? That's funny.
Ours were maroon and gold. That was our colors.
Well, that's very Sunnydale High of you.
Yeah. Sadly, we were not. We were the Warriors, but.
Close enough.
The school I went to elementary at was called the River Rats.
Oh.
It was green. That was the mascot.
Well, Cordelia is very upset about the maroon. She would have preferred teal.
I think that's weird because you don't get to pick. It's your school colors.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, truth. But Cordelia is Cordelia.
Yeah.
Xander is talking about how he's going to die. He's really convinced it's the end for him. I can't remember how this little Xander story arc plays out. I haven't watched the second part yet. So, like, it's been a hot minute. But I had completely forgot that this was a story beat in this episode. That Xander's just like, I'm going to die. My time's up. It's a ticking clock. I'm never going to get out of this school alive.
I mean, he says that, and I'm not sure that he brings it up again. Like,
he says
in the second episode at all.
Yeah. He's really worried about it this episode. It seems like it's setting up some kind of arc, like a Andrew in the finale, where he's just like, why didn't I die? But no, Xander just mentions it, and then it doesn't play out.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's it. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't have like the dialogue memorized, but
yeah.
I don't think that. I guess we'll find out.
We're going to watch it and we're going to talk about it. But yeah.
It's pretty fresh in my mind because I watched it fairly recently.
It'd be funny if they dropped that entirely.
That's pretty much that scene.
I do like that we have, you know, a little bit of bickering, but more like, you know, common ground Cordelia and Xander back in this episode. Which
Yes, I noticed that.
Nice.
Yes.
They're not immediately venomous at each other. It's beautiful.
Which, what she says, the art of positively giving up would be something she would say to any friend.
Oh, yeah. It's almost like playful in the way that she's being mean to him in this episode, whereas previously it definitely wasn't playful.
No, it was anger.
Yeah.
Which she had every right to. But anger. So then we have Willow, who is on the stairs, and she's signing a yearbook for someone. And then Harmony comes up to her. They want to trade yearbooks to sign, and they talk about how much they wish they could be better friends and hope they don't lose touch, and they're going to hang out and everything. which is, you can tell it's majorly fake and stuff, but I mean, I remember this. This is people, I mean, this is what you did.
Yeah.
This is fairly accurate for signing yearbooks at the end of high school. I did this with people I barely knew.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. And then Buffy comes up and, Willow talks about how she can't help it because it's a sickness and she's going to miss everything. And Willow asks her if she feels it. And Buffy's like, no, I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then says she doesn't even think she's going to go to graduation.
I wonder how much of Buffy not feeling the end of the school year is just tied to the fact that she's deeply depressed right now because Angel's leaving her.
Yeah, and you would think, like, the prom award, the class mm-hmm. protector thing, would make her, like, feel more connected to everybody.
Yeah.
But I guess it didn't work.
For a brief moment, she was a part of the student body, but now she's just like, nope, I'm back to being the one that has to deal with the ascension, and, you know.
Yeah.
That's...
And, yeah, she's basically telling Willow that she can't go to graduation because she has to deal with the mayor becoming a demon, which is kind of weird because you would think they'd all be helping her. So if they would, none of them would go.
Mm-hmm.
But then Xander comes up and drops the bomb that the commencement speaker is the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Which again, he mentions the I'm gonna die theorem here. So yeah, this is a pretty strong thing for Xander to claim over and over again.
Maybe the writers were trying to fake everybody out. And
maybe
make everybody think Xander was gonna die.
Yep. Get our hopes up. No, I kid.
Then we are at an apartment, which I find strange because he's a visiting professor. So wouldn't he be in like a hotel or something?
Well, and it's like decked out too. Like,
yeah.
He mentions he likes his space. So I could maybe understand if he somehow got a short-term lease on an apartment just so he'd have more room. But he's decorated it.
Yeah. So he is very much your rumpled, absent-minded professor type. And he comes to the door and it's Faith.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, says she's looking for him. And he says, no, students need to come for my office hours. And then she says she's from the mayor. And he lets her in. And it's like, I can't believe a mayor is interested in my research. I was so surprised. And then there's a really yuck part. Where Faith says he's a big fan, Professor, and Professor Lester says, oh, Lester is fine. And Faith says, we alone here, Lester? And he replies, yes, I'm a lifelong bachelor, and I like my space. When Faith asks if they're alone, Lester gets creepy. Like, he's got a face like he thinks he's in a porn movie or something. And it is yuck because, yeah, like he's old enough to be her grandfather and like he thought she was a student.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the only direction that is in the script is that he's supposed to look like it's an odd question.
Ah.
But he like immediately assumes that this young girl is coming on to him and wants him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Like, I didn't watch it super closely, so I can't remember the guy's exact reaction. But I definitely felt like it was kind of played in the scene. Like, it was a setup of, like, him questioning whether or not, like, for a second, if she's coming on to him. And then she produces the knife, and then he's like, whoa, wait.
Yeah. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
It kind of bothers me because it's like he just assumes that she wants him because she asked if they were alone. And... yeah.
Well, I mean, it's
icky
either
and presumptuous.
It
and,
is.
And
it is.
Kind of. Yeah.
It is. But maybe perhaps that is the leap that went in his brain rather than, are we alone so I can murder you?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know how many scenarios of like, are we alone would be like, she's either going to like mug him, like steal all his stuff. She's coming on to him.
And he also doesn't stop to wonder why the mayor is sending
a
teenage-ish girl to
sketchiest.
His apartment at night.
That's the sketchiest part. She just like a random girl shows up and says, I work for Mayor Wilkins. And like, you know, looking and dressing and appearing as Faith does, being like, oh, well, come in, please.
Well, I mean, we know why he asked her in. I mean, he just didn't think she was going to try and kill him.
Yeah.
She then does.
She does.
And he wants to know why. And she said, yep, my boss wants you dead.
Never thought to ask. I love that line.
Yeah.
I never thought to ask why. It just shows how much faith is in the mayor's pocket right now. There's no questioning.
And then we get a little like shadowy thing of him getting stabbed.
Mm-hmm. It pans to an image of a volcano. It's a picture of a volcano on the wall.
Which becomes important later.
Yeah. Turns out.
Although not important. Like at the time, nobody knows what it means.
Yeah.
Like I remember not knowing what it was when I first watched. Like, I didn't remember a whole lot of watching the first and second seasons, but for some reason, I remember a lot of the first time I watched the third season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that is the end of the teaser, and we have the little intro thing. And when we come back, we are in Faith's apartment that the mayor put her up in, and she's behind, like, a screen. Is that what those are called? Partition?
Mm-hmm.
A room separating device?
A room separating device.
She is behind a room separating device. And they're talking about the professor and how that went. And then he tells her to come out. And she comes out and she is dressed very unfaithlike. She is wearing a very feminine sundress. Which, I will point out, looks odd on her, but only because the rest of her is still, like, with Faith makeup and Faith hair and everything.
She got dressed up for the, you know, her normal goth look, and then he brought in the dress for her to try on, so she has all of that dark makeup with this sundress.
Floral sundress, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very happy. He has a deep sigh and says she's a vision, which she actually, I mean, with different hair and makeup, she'd look real pretty in a sundress.
Mm-hmm.
And even with what she's wearing now, she might look real pretty in like a black dress or something, like a black sundress. But it is a very floral, feminine sundress, and it does not look right on her.
It does feel out of place. I mean, it does. And it's the right kind of out of place. And she's very uncomfortable talking about it. Just isn't her. And, you know, the mayor keeps reassuring her that.
He goes in this whole thing about how young she is and she doesn't know who she is. And Ascension is her day to blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how proud he is of her and everything that she's done and what she will do. I mean, she's not done much except kill people for him, but still.
Yeah.
He says, no father could be prouder. Then she talks about not wanting to let him down, and he says, that's impossible. Put your regular clothes back on, and I'll buy you an icy.
Mm-hmm.
And is real gleeful about it, which is mayor-like. I had a thought when he said that I had not thought before, but like when he takes her to mini golf and he takes her for an icy and stuff, does no one ever wonder about the mayor, very recognizable mayor of the town, being seen around town with this random young girl?
I still like
and be like, huh?
I still accept the headcanon that the mayor is just constantly like messing with everybody's minds in Sunnydale.
Maybe.
There's just a fog that he can release. He's just like, whoa, these aren't the droids you're looking for kind of abilities. Like, I have to headcanon that.
Yeah, I guess. It's just, I had that thought. I was like, he's going to go buy our icy in town. I can't think of any town where people would not, like journalists would not be speculating about his relationship to this young girl that he's taking out all over town.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but like, because like everybody is not under, like everybody doesn't work for him.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, then we are back at the school and we have Willow riding a bike onto campus and locking it up on a bike rack. Which, have we ever seen Willow do this before? Is this completely new?
I think it's completely new. It's like bookends. You know, at the very beginning of the show, we had Xander on the skateboard. Now it's the end of the high school years. We got Willow on a bike. It's the bookends.
Well, because I watch it, I'm like, where did this bike come from? This is completely new. What? But then the script, when I was reading the script, which I've watched all the episodes multiple times. We all have. But this going through this is the first time I've ever read the scripts. Mm-hmm. So in the script, it said Willow is riding her fabulous orange bike onto campus. It makes it sound like this is a thing. This is her bike that's always been there.
Yeah.
Like, why are you wondering what's happening?
Don't think about it too hard. I thought it was strange, too, when she rode up on the bike. And I was just like, huh. I mean, it makes sense, but also, huh.
Yeah. I mean, I can see Willow riding a bike to school every day. Even especially a bike that looked like that. It's a very old-fashioned bike.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never happened before, and the script makes it sound like it's a thing we should know.
Yeah.
You know? And then Percy walks up to her, and they have a little talk about his grades and history and stuff. Not really a thing except for us to know that Percy's still there.
Yeah. I love this version of Percy. We talked about the Percy sandwich where he's kind of a jerk and then he's kind of tolerable for a while and then he's kind of a jerk. Like, this version of Percy is just really enjoyable where he's just like, I'm like a scholar because he got a B- on his history test. And then he talks about how he's going to graduate and he can forget all this crap. It's great. It's quality like Percy. I just love it. But yeah, Oz comes up right before Percy departs, and Oz is talking about on the bright side after graduation, he may not have a chance to forget it all. And Willow's just kind of nodding along, upset about the whole thing. And he says that he was just trying to keep things light. And Willow says things aren't light. And, you know, she doesn't want the mayor to eat Percy and the whole class, and that they have to find a spell to stop the ascension. Go into action.
Oh, yeah.
This next scene, I delight in so much. Xander sneaking into a class that's already started, gets caught, and then the teacher just makes this long rant about you finished your finals and you're all ready to graduate, but it hasn't happened yet, and we still have class and everyone will participate. And so we ask Mr. Harris to begin, and Xander thinks for a bit and then goes, E. And then it's revealed that he's actually just doing a game of hangman with everybody. And he's so pleased with himself.
I find it odd that, like, they're still in school.
Like,
in high school, once you take your finals, you don't have to go back.
Yeah. And like, especially this high school, you'd think you would be done.
Well, like, in my senior year, the senior class got let out of school, like, 3 weeks before all the other grades, like, everyone else. Like, we would be done in, like, in very early May.
You have to realize, though, this high school is run by Snyder.
True, but I mean, and like the last week or so of school, we would do stuff like this, like play games, play hangman and dominoes and stuff in class. But then we would have finals. It was before finals, and then we didn't have to come back.
Yeah.
This is, they're saying we've already taken finals. And I'm like, well, then why do they have to be there? It's just wasting time. Let them go home. Like, what is the point?
Because Snyder. That's the only excuse you need.
Snyder.
But this has been like one of the few little nods to the senioritis that I feel like probably should have been a little bit more prominent over these last few episodes of them just like not wanting to go to class ever, not wanting to do any of this. It doesn't make sense timing wise, but it is a nice nod to the fact that, yeah, this is all waste now.
Yeah. It's just, there's just a few things that don't make sense for a high school, like a graduating.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of.
Well, I mean, like, the graduation's literally the next day, too, which is.
Is it?
Yes. So they're in class doing hangman the day before graduation.
Here's the thing, though. When you watch this episode, you don't get, like, you don't really get the impression. It is the next day, but so much happens.
Yeah.
It's like that show, 48 Hours, that TV show, where, like, it's supposed to be, like, each episode is supposed to be 48 hours, but, like, people get kidnapped 3 times and do all this. People who've watched it will know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. It's supposed to be 48 hours, but, like, it spans stuff that would happen in an entire 2 weeks time period. It is unrealistic like that. This is a very long day.
Yeah, this is a lot. Like, we're with them throughout this day.
As they keep playing hangman, Anya starts whispering to Xander, and they have a little conversation, and Xander makes a comment about, you know, why would I want to spend time with you? Because you could talk about all the men you destroyed. And Anya replies, we could do something else that you like. And he just kind of goes with, like, I don't know, but, like, she's assuming that he liked that. Which I kind of think is funny that, like, it never crossed Anya's mind that he might not want to hear about those things. And she goes, sports of some kind.
Men like sports. I'm sure of it.
Yes. Men like sports. Men watch the action movie. They eat of the beef and enjoy to look at the bosoms. 1,000 years of avenging our wrongs, and that's all you've learned?
Hey, I'm trying, okay? You don't need to take my head off.
I'm sorry.
And then he mentions the ascension, and Anya looks terrified.
Mm-hmm. She does not like that word.
No. Yeah. She knows what that is.
So from there, we cut to the library and Buffy's showing the newspaper and it says that Professor found murdered. And she just states very plainly, Faith. Giles and Wesley are fencing, which is delightful.
Oh, I love it. Especially Giles. Okay, so I know I'm going to really just continue sounding like a middle-aged woman here, which I am, and that's okay. But Giles is so hot in this scene. Oh my gosh.
I get that it's like a nod to like recognizing a artist by their painting. But when Buffy is questioned about why she's so sure it's Faith, she says one of her pieces, I recognize the brushwork. I'm just like, how detailed was this newspaper article? Like, yeah. What did they show? What did they talk about? Like, this
like,
is...
Like, are we listing where every single stab was?
Or... Yeah, like, what happened? So Giles says that brutally stabbed Mr. Worth, visiting professor of geology, and says that there's no motive there. Wesley suggests that it's a random killing. Buffy says that she thinks it's homework and that the mayor wanted the professor gone, which is when they start discussing what could be the reason. And Wesley's all like, by attempting to keep a valuable clue from us, the mayor may have inadvertently led us right to it. And I love that little flourish.
And Buffy's like, yeah, where are you at? Because we already got there.
Oh, boy. It is funny, though, like, when you really think about, and Buffy's kind of known for some of these conveniences when they're trying to wrap up a season, but, like, when you really think about it, it's just like, they really did just kind of lead them right to it.
Yeah, try to, because, well, they have a lot more stuff to happen today.
Yeah.
But then Wesley gives her, like, well, you go, you'll look over his apartment, and if there's anything worth noting, you come back here. And Buffy's just like, I just love it when you take charge, you man, you. I always think that part is really, really funny, too. Buffy's on fire in this scene.
Yes. I didn't realize how much I love Wesley with the Scoobies. And and I'm sad we're about to lose that, but it's fine. I'm okay. I'll get Wesley on Angel, which is obviously better, but still. Oh, but yeah. Wesley's confused and asks if that's a yes, and she says that she'll go and to keep an eye out for Faith and that Faith has her at a disadvantage. Buffy asks Giles, is that because she's not crazy or because she doesn't kill people? And Giles replies, both, actually. And yeah. So that's their feelings on Faith. And Wesley does put out that Faith is a footnote and that their priority is stopping the Ascension, which is interesting coming from, you know, a member of the Watchers Council that Faith is now a footnote. I was just like, I feel like the Watcher Council would still be pretty interested in Faith, but okay.
Yeah, I'm surprised with the way the Watcher Council is that there aren't a lot more efforts to kidnap Faith. Or are they that?
They have an out of control Slayer who they know when she's taken care of, air quotes. a new Slayer that they might be able to control will be chosen. So, like, I feel like that would be their preference, and they would make every effort to do that. But they just kind of stop caring about anything. Xander enters with Anya. Wesley asks if he has anything constructive, and Xander says that you want to know about the Ascension? We'll meet the only living person who's ever been to one. And yeah, about 800 years ago, in fact, there was one.
Yeah, she tells the story. And Wesley, it's a story about the demon Lohesh. And Anya tells about how bad it was. And Wesley's just like, I don't think Lohesh was that bad, that fierce. And she goes, you've never seen a demon. At which point they all just stare at her because, you know, it's Buffy. And Buffy's like, yeah, I killed demons. And Anya explains that all the demons on the earth are human hybrids. And I like this because it makes sense.
Yeah.
From the beginning, it explains vampires as the result when a demon mixed its blood with a human before the demons left their world,
mm-hmm.
and it became a vampire. So was it like an uber vamp that did that? Like, do we find that later, that an uber vamp is like the demon that originally mixed its blood to make a vampire?
I don't know if we ever get like a proper like first vampire like origin story.
Well, yeah, we don't get a story about a specific one, but they tell us how. I like the canon that it was an Uber vamp that did that before it was like, you know what, we have to leave this reality, but I'm gonna make sure there's something that'll kill you pesky humans anyway.
Yeah.
Probably not those exact thoughts, but you know.
You pesky humans, you.
Yeah, exactly. I can see an Uber vamp saying pesky humans. I kind of like that theory. It never explains, but does it make sense? I think it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think in my mind, the Uber vamps were always just like the earliest of the vampires. And then it just became more and more tainted. But I don't know if they're still, I still think that they're different than what is considered the demon that first created vampires. Because Giles, I think, is the one that drops the bit of lore, I think already in the series at this point, that vampires were birthed from a demon mixing its blood with a human to create a vampire.
We learned that in like the first episode, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like one of the first little bits of knowledge bomb that they throw out there. But I don't know like if that would be considered like the Uber vamps are those demons, or the Uber vamps are just the first and most purest of the vampires before they get diluted more and more. Because there's also some interesting bits about how vampires age. And like if they get old enough, they become more demonic in appearance, because that's where you get like the master and the one that was after. Kissing Toast. There's some stuff that you could really like dig into and try to.
I like mine, but I also like yours that vampires kind of evolved to be, they keep evolving to be more human-like because they keep getting more and more diluted.
Yeah, I could see that.
I like that one. I think, you know what? I think I might actually like that better than that.
Well, I love...
Which we knew.
Yeah, I love that this is just something that Anya says so confidently here. And then this is the information that's presented of this idea of a pure demon is something that we haven't experienced at this point. Like a pure demon is so old, so ancient, so before this world that it's not something that you're going to encounter even after years of being a professional vampire slayer. Like, we get more and more of these ancient beings as we go forward that start to surface, and it's just, this is like that first nod of being like, yes, the demons that you're facing are like shadows of what an actual demon is, and that's just terrifying to think of, especially when you get to like the finale of Angel and you know that that's like just a wall of actual demons that they're about to face, and you're just like, well, that's fun. From there, we go outside where they're sitting up for the graduation. They're sitting up all of this the day before, including like some very not weather resistant streamers and bits like that I see floating around.
Maybe they absolutely know that it is not going to rain.
It's not going to rain. Or, there's not going to be any wind. We're good.
Yeah, or get windy. And there will be no dew.
There will be nothing. But yeah, they're sitting up and Snyder and the mayor are walking through. Snyder's kind of going through the whole layout where everybody's going to be seated. And the mayor's just talking about how wonderful it all looks and that he needs to stop worrying and that just to make sure that the kids show up.
Anyone who doesn't show up. Yeah, which is illegal. I realize that they don't care, but it's illegal. You don't have to go to graduation to get a diploma.
But still, like, it's that.
They will mail it to you.
It makes you wonder, like, that maybe that's why all the kids are still coming to class, because Snyder's like, well, you're not going to get your diploma if you don't show up to all these classes and play hangman. And here, I like this. I feel like it's subtle, but there's actually like some stuff played in this where you can tell that Snyder has his doubts. Snyder is not as comfortable around the mayor as he once was. He's definitely not groveling.
Well, he was there with the box and the spiders and stuff. But yeah. Now he's like, something's wrong with you.
Yeah. And that delivery of I believe in order is such a good delivery. And the mayor just kind of says that Sunnydale owes him a debt and that it will be repaid. Woohoo.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. And then we cut back to the library and Anya saying that after they've explained what's going on with this ascension, that it doesn't seem like it's Lohash. And Oz and Willow enter. Willow asks what Evil Girl's doing there.
Yeah. How come Evil Girl's in the mix? There's a little thing here. And when I was going through the script, I had already watched the episode like 2 days before. I do not think that this little interaction right here is in the episode, but it might have been.
Okay.
I'm really pretty sure it wasn't. But Wesley, you know, in the episode, he says there must be something more useful you can tell us. And then he says, how did they kill it? And Anya had already said that it was in the Kosovo Valley where this had happened when she was first telling the story. And she replies, you know anyone who lives in the Kosovo Valley? Kind of insinuating that he's still there.
Interesting.
This demon is that ascended is still alive and still lives there.
Ah.
And Wesley says, oh. And I was reading the script and I was like, that's not
in the episode. No, that's not in the episode, but that's fascinating.
I didn't think so. But yeah, Wesley says, oh, and then Buffy, you know, asks about the spiders and the box of Gavrok. And he's like, yeah, I don't know anything about that.
It is canon, though, that they're called spiders. It's multiple people call them spiders. I think both Buffy and Faith call them spiders. So canon.
Yeah. Then the mayor walks in.
Oh, God.
It surprises everybody.
It's so, like, beautifully tense. Just the presence that this man has for being, like, just, like, the most non-threatening individual ever. When he comes in and they all react the way they do, it's beautifully performed. I love it. He talks about the inner sanctum and that it's nice to see young people are still interested in reading. And he picks up a book and starts reading from it.
The beast will walk upon the earth and darkness will follow. The several races of man will be as one in their terror and destruction. Oh, that's kind of sweet. Different races coming together.
You never get even a little tired of hearing yourself speak, do you?
That's one spunky little girl you've raised.
And you want to talk about sexy Giles some more?
Oh, yeah. Giles stabs him in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
Mary talks about Giles misbehaving in front of the children. And Buffy tells him to get out. And then he does some threats and stuff and says his commencement address is going to be a hell of a speech and leaves.
Mm-hmm. There's little details, the him after removing the sword, taking the time to like slowly clean it and like just the.
Well, he doesn't like germs.
Yeah, he doesn't like germs, but it's just, it's such a short, quick scene, but like it was so necessary to have this moment because the mayor, for the most part, hasn't really interacted with the main Scoobies. And our gateway to the mayor has mostly been Faith. But like to actually have some back and forth with him and the Scoobies was so necessary to cement him as a villain in my mind. Because the thing I hate the most is like a villain that never interacts with the main cast until the final battle. And so we have the encounter in the cafeteria and then this. And it's just, I wish we had more because these scenes are so good and it would be easy enough to like come up with reasons why he would want to mess with them because he's, you know, invincible right now. So he doesn't have to worry about getting into a dangerous situation and he could just manipulate them like crazy. And that's all he's doing here. He's just going in and just basically rubbing their noses in it. I mean, that's all he's so convinced he's won at this point. He's not worried at all. He is very confident in his abilities to ascend and to eat every last one of these people.
Especially Buffy. He's going to definitely eat her.
Oh, yeah. And, like, the interesting thing is, like, this is the end goal. He wants to ascend to become a ancient demon and eat people. That's his end goal. That's it.
I mean, the demons that have ascended have to be doing other stuff because that one is still alive from 800 years ago.
Yeah.
He's been doing something for 800 years.
I guess.
And eventually, if he's eating people, eventually they're going to stop going there.
Yeah. I don't,
hopefully.
But it's just, as far as like a quest for power, I'm just going to become a big demon and eat people. That's my quest for power is interesting. It's a strange motivation he has.
Yeah. You would think they're trying to go to a different reality or something. Like, everyone always has these goals of destroying the world or getting into a different dimension or whatever. He just wants to eat people.
Yeah, there's been a lot of motivation that makes sense for different villains. The mayor's has always been a little brow furrowing for me. Like, I've never really quite understood what his end goal was. And I think you could easily come up with something. Because he's still himself. You get the well gosh right before he blows up. So you know that he's still himself. So he has the ability to have some form of power as this demon, but I'm not really sure what his plan was beyond that. I mean, he talks to Faith about how the Ascension's gonna be her big day too, so like it's framed like he wants to continue to see her do well and successful, so it's not like he just wants to end the world, but it's never really explained what his end goal is other than turning into a giant snake and eating some people. So Anya pieces out. You cut to the hallway and she's running away, and Xander catches up and asks where she's going, and she's just like, if there's a lunar shuttle, I'm on it. Like, she is done. Yeah, she's gone.
She's like, it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere away from here.
And she rushes off as Cordelia comes up and asks what's her saga, which I don't know why, but that expression just tickles me to no end. And Xander says that she's freaking because the mayor is going to kill us all during graduation. And Cordelia is like, oh, well, are you going to fifth period?
And like, why are we going to classes to fifth period the day before graduation? It still makes no sense. Okay.
Delightful.
It's a wonderful little interaction.
Yes.
Then we have a scene with Buffy and her mom where Buffy is packing her mom up to go away. And basically they have a little argument about how Joyce is coming to graduation. And Buffy's like, no, you can't. And then Joyce rather sarcastically says, is some horrible monster going to attack the school? And Joyce is like, oh, yeah, I see. And then she sits down on the bed. She's all deep in thought. She says, you know, looking back at everything, maybe you should have gone somewhere else. Which I find hilarious. She's like, maybe. maybe you should have gone to Sunnydale High. Buffy kind of convinces her to go. They have a really heartfelt conversation about all the Buffy wishes she could be for her mom, you know, a better student, an athlete, remotely normal. And she says she's sorry she's not, but there's one thing I can do better than anything. I could fight this thing and save the world, but you have to leave. And she finally convinces Joyce to go. And it's because Joyce is like, yeah, I'm going to stay and help you fight it, which, I mean, maybe could. She helped fight zombies and she got rid of Spike once.
Yeah, it's interesting. It is definitely like, I don't really buy that Joyce would agree to this, but it is kind of one of those tools of showing that Buffy's grown up now, right?
Yeah.
That Joyce is willing to let Buffy be the adult in this situation because it's something in which Buffy is more knowledgeable and more mature in understanding what's going on than Joyce is. Joyce is very young in her supernatural knowledge, and Buffy has been going, you know, fighting demons professionally 4 years running. So it is kind of flipping those roles, and we do that several times throughout the series of flipping those roles and kind of making Buffy mother Joyce a little bit and being like, no, you have to understand this is what I need you to do in order to do my job. And yeah, it cuts away, but we're assuming that Joyce goes along with it and leaves town.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she nods.
Yeah, she does nod.
So she's agreed. Okay. And then we're with Willow and Oz.
And Amy, don't forget about Amy.
Well, technically Amy's there too. Yes. So they're in Willow's room and she is looking through books and Oz is on the internet and Willow just gets frustrated because she can't find anything useful.
If we want to make ferns invisible or communicate with shrimp, I've got the goods right here.
Our lives are different than other people's.
Ugh. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to find a spell to stop the Ascension. I'm no witch. I can't even change poor Amy back to a person.
But you got the swinging habit trail going. I think Amy's in a good place emotionally.
Oz.
What?
Could you just pretend to care about what's happening, please?
You think I don't care?
And then Willow does a little rant about all the things that she might not get to do that she wanted to do if she dies.
Mm-hmm.
Oz asks, would it help if I panic? And she's like, yes, it's something we can share together. And then he kind of jumps at her and they share a very, very deep and passionate kiss. And they break away and Willow says, what are you doing? And Oz says, panicking.
Mm-hmm.
Which, pretty smooth.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. This is one of the, like, only times that I can think of in the show until the unfortunate thing that happens in season 4 where we actually have something that's like a constructive criticism of Oz, right? Because Oz is kind of one of those two perfect guys. But like the fact of being that, being detachment guy, right? So like being ironic detachment guy as Willow's kind of frustrated with him of doing that. It's like, that is something that Oz is that I could see being around all the time would really start to grate on you. Like, especially Willow, who's very emotional, kind of wears her emotions on her sleeve, and to have Oz be so reserved with his emotions, I could see that that would get really frustrating. And this is like the one moment that I can think of that she really calls something like that out, and she's just like, you know, you just keep not panicking when it's clearly time to panic.
I would feel way better if you panicked.
Yes. So we're back at the professor's apartment. Buffy's there collecting some papers and Angel appears in the door and slips and slams into the threshold shouting ow as he comes inside. And Buffy just goes stealthy. And I mean, we've talked about Angel from Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel from Angel the Series. This is Angel from Angel the Series.
Oh, 100%.
He said he checked in with Giles and was asked to back her up. Buffy's talking about he's afraid that I'll run into Angel asked if she's not. And she's just like, it's going to happen sooner or later. Dun, dun, dun.
Which I feel like maybe a little insensitive of Giles. Like, he's like, back her up. And, like, she don't want to see Angel.
She really doesn't. Angel's a little forward in this. Buffy's talking about what she's collected and how she doesn't understand any of it and how she has to take it back to Giles. And Angel offers to give her a hand and they walk outside. And Buffy eventually is just like, you know what? I can take it from here. I don't need an escort. I'm a big girl. I don't need you crowding me. And Angel's like, I didn't think I was. And I'm just like, what?
Like, how are you not crowding her?
I don't understand your logic. But she says that he disappeared after the prom. And for all she knew that he had already left town. And then he makes the comment, are you mad at me for being around too much or for not being around enough? And she's just like, yes.
Which is, I mean,
correct.
makes sense to me.
Yeah.
He doesn't think it makes sense, but makes sense to me.
Yeah. And he just keeps throwing out all of these like criticisms of Buffy. And I'm just like, you broke up with her, Angel. Come on, man. But yeah, he goes on to say that once the mayor's, you know, he doesn't get to finish the sentence because Buffy interrupts. He's just like, we have to work together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is my last office romance, I tell you. And boy, was she wrong about that.
Yeah, not even close to right about that.
And then Angel acts like he's going to leave. And then Buffy questions if it's even just a little hard for him. And he starts to say, how can you ask me that? And then he says, just because I'm not acting like a brat, which, hello.
Yeah, no. No, Angel.
And they start to get a little bit more and more angry and yelly at each other. And Buffy says, I just can't do this anymore. I have to move on. And a arrow suddenly is sticking out of Angel's chest. Not the heart, but definitely the chestal region. And he falls down as Buffy screams his name. And it cuts to the big neon sign where Faith and a vamp are camped out. And the vamp says, you missed the heart. And Faith says, meant to. And it's one of those funny things that I don't know why this scene reminded me of this fact, because clearly it's just to make it easier on the audience to know for sure that that's a vampire. But I was just thinking, why are all the evil, like, lackey vampires always in vamp face? Do they ever get tired of always having to be in vamp face?
Yeah.
Does that take effort? I don't understand whether that takes... It seems like most vampires default to human face, unless you're a lackey evil vampire, and then you default to vamp face.
So then we're back in the library, and Angel is sitting in a chair. Giles cut the back of the arrow off, and Buffy has her hand on it. And Buffy's like, okay, you ready? And he says, yeah. And she says, on three, and then says one, and then yanks it out. And Angel replies, I knew you were going to do that.
I love it.
Yeah. Angel's like, you know, basically like, I heal pretty fast. It should be fine. And they talk about how they know it was Faith, and it's a good thing that she is a sucky shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wesley is reading all the stuff that Buffy got from the apartment and discovers that Mr. Worth was leading an expedition to dig into old lava beds on Kauai. I don't remember how it was said.
I don't either. I've slept since then.
Yeah, and he's digging through a dormant volcano, and Buffy's like, yeah, I'm not fascinated yet. And that he found something underneath and thinks it might be a undiscovered dinosaur. And they realize, oh.
It's big.
Everybody's light bulb goes on. If this is the demon the mayor's turning into, this is why he would want us to not know. After the ascension, he's not invincible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just got some really good information. I mean, to me, it seems like it's kind of a jump.
Yeah. Here's the thing. The part that really bugs me about this is that he sent Faith to kill this guy, but not to recover any of his documents. And then the only way that they would connect this professor's research to the mayor is if they had evidence to assume that the mayor wanted to keep this research from them. If they had just read this as a professor was digging up dormant volcanoes and found a carcass that he thought might be a dinosaur that hadn't been discovered yet, then they'd be like, okay. They wouldn't connect that to the mayor. But the fact that Faith went and killed him, that's the reason that they are able to make these leaps and connect all these dots. So, like, just not the best planning on the mayor's side.
Yeah.
Definitely had some stuff.
If he hadn't killed Lester, they'd have never known.
Yeah. I mean, and to not even try to, like, what's the point in killing him if you're just going to leave all of his research around? I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know, it was Faith.
Yeah, I guess you could assume that Faith wasn't that good at collecting everything from the apartment, and that there was some stuff that she missed that Buffy found, but I don't know. She could have set the apartment on fire. That probably would have taken care of things.
Yeah. Then Angel kind of collapses, and they realize that he's got a giant fever and his arm is numb, and it's poison on the arrow. And they decide to move Angel to his bed before the sun comes up, and Wesley's going to contact the council.
Yeah.
Then we have, okay, this is funny. We go back to Willow's bedroom, to Willow and Oz, and this is the script direction.
Mm-hmm.
The camera moves slowly about the darkened room, coming to find two tastefully draped nudes on the bed. Willow and Oz, they have sinned. That's it. That's the direction. And I'm like, what? I got like a question mark and a big circle around they have sinned. Okay.
Oh, wow. My note on this is that it starts at Amy's cage and it's covered with the clothes, like the discarded clothes. And I'm just like, I know it's like for sure that she doesn't remember things later, but I'm really glad that she doesn't remember all this.
Yeah.
Just spent years just in Willow's room.
They have a really sweet little conversation about things, and it's very Willow and Oz like.
Mm-hmm. Very, very.
Oz is like really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
He always is, but like, especially in this episode.
Yeah.
And the phone rings and Willow answers, listens, and then hangs up and says, we got to go.
Yeah.
And
she listens for like half a second. So I don't know if they just said Angel's poison and she just immediately hangs up. She's like, got to go. And I'm just like, no further conversation needed. Okay.
Or something like, get here, get to the mansion now or something.
Yeah, but she's next. Like, no, but the next time we see her, she's at the school, like in the chemistry lab, like doing like making a list for Xander to go and get ingredients. Like, I'm just like,
meet us at the library now or something. I don't know. It was definitely a direction.
It was definitely that, but I was just like, oof.
And then we have a conversation between Faith and the mayor in the mayor's office, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about what happened to Angel and how that should keep Buffy occupied for a while. And the mayor has the box of giant spiders and says mm-hmm. he's got to eat them. And Faith says, you're gross. And tells her to go home and rest up because a big day tomorrow. And she's like, you got to give me something to do. There's no way I'm sleeping. I can maim somebody for you.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor calls her little firecracker, which makes Faith start reminiscing about how her mom used to call her that because she was always running around. And they have a little conversation about Faith fighting. And then Faith is like, so you'll still need me in there. And the mayor goes, always. Mm-hmm. I like this relationship with Faith and the mayor. I mean, obviously it was something Faith needed and everything, but like it happened fast. Like,
yeah,
like I'll always need you. It's your day to blossom, you know. Mm-hmm. This happened fast. Like, did they spend a lot of time together off screen?
They
like,
went mini golfing and to get ices all the time.
Right. But, yeah. Anyway, Faith then tells this really random, out of nowhere, no idea why it connects to anything, story about how she used to jump off rocks at the quarry that no one else would jump off of.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't really get the connection or what it has to do with anything.
It's setting up the final scene where she jumps off the building, but it does come out of nowhere.
Yeah. Anyway, he tells her to get some rest, and she's like, good luck with your spiders, and she leaves.
Yeah, that's it. That's that. That's their last scene. And like, so I'll talk about this in next episode too, but I think the interesting thing about the mayor and Faith is that when Faith does end up in the coma and is presumed that she's gonna die or not wake up or whatever was told to him, and he's as upset as he is, that shows that it's not just the mayor manipulating Faith for his personal gain. Like, there is actually some genuine feelings there. And I think while that story kind of comes out of nowhere where she's talking about being a kid and stuff like that, there's something to be said about maybe this is also like a hint of the kind of stuff that Faith talks to him about, like reminiscing about things and him like actually genuinely listening. And like, that's what it feels like in that moment. Like, she just brings up a random story because it occurred to her. We didn't make that leap, but he just so like intently listens and like responds to it. And you can tell that she even wants to like talk and visit more because she needs that so much in her life. Like, she's kind of like, yeah, I don't want to go. I don't want to do this. I want to do something for you, or I want to hang out and tell you stories. You know, like, she wants that interaction, but he kind of like, you know, shoos her away so he can eat his spiders. But there is like a genuine care there that mm-hmm. makes their relationship way more interesting than just him manipulating her and her being naive and needing a role model.
Yeah.
We go to the chemistry lab. Willow is already at work. She has a list for Xander to go and get from the magic shop. And Xander says that he's short on cash. And Willow says, just tell them it's for me. So that just tells you how often Willow shops there at this point. Yeah. She is the most regular of the regulars.
I like how they put that in, though. Just tell them it's for me.
Yeah.
She shops there enough that like a completely different person can go in there and be like, hey, put this on Willow's tab.
Yeah.
And then when he is on his way out, Anya approaches him and he's like, what are you doing here? And she says, hey, I'm packed. My car's right outside. Before we continue with this conversation, where did Anya get a car?
So I have a note about the car. It's not where did she get it. It's actually canon breaking that she has a car and knows how to drive it here, because in season 5, there's a bit where she's driving a car for the first time.
Yeah, on the troll episode.
Yeah.
But like, also, where did she get it?
It was part of her persona when she was there, and it just lingered. There you go. When her high school persona had a car, and so when she was forced to be mortal, she still had the car. That or she stole it. She's lived a long time.
Yeah, she could have stole it.
But yeah, she talks about how Xander could go with her. Xander's a little confused, and she's just like, we could just drive. No one would miss us. We could take turns driving, and says, you're going to die if you stay. So, like, this is kind of a continued thread throughout the episode about Xander's going to die. Xander's so sure he's going to die, and then Anya's supporting that idea and trying to tempt him to leave with her. And he says that basically he might, and kind of acts like, you know, there's no way, you know, it's very obvious that Xander's not leaving. So they start talking about how Anya gets upset if she thinks that something bad could happen to him and that she might vomit. And Xander says that that's the world of robots. And she's like, it's horrible. No wonder I used to get so much work.
Yeah.
But he says that he can't. He's got friends on the line. And she's just like, so?
Yeah. I like the so. Then she gets mad and is like, you know what? I hope you die, and leaves. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And as he tries to walk by her, she goes, aren't we going to kiss? Like, oh my goodness. Okay.
She's having like
some social issues.
Yeah. It's this early Anya. I really like the newly human Anya of being like, here's just this wave of feelings. And not only feelings, but like 18-year-old girl feelings. Like just hormonal all over the place, all thrust on you after 1,000 years of not having to deal with any of that. And you just don't know what any of it means. So from there, we go back to Angel's mansion. He is in the bed, just not looking great. Buffy's kind of trying to soothe him and keep his fever down and saying it'll be okay. And then she hears that Wesley's entering, so she leaves to go and talk to him. And Wesley says that the council couldn't help. Buffy questions that, and then he says that they wouldn't help. It is not their policy to cure vampires.
Yeah. Giles is like, did you try to explain special circumstances? And he's like, I did. They are adamant none.
Mm-hmm.
And Buffy and Giles start talking about how they will find a cure. And Wesley interrupts to say the council's orders are to, then there is, I can't explain this as great as this moment is.
I don't think I'm going to be taking any more orders. Not from you, not from them.
You can't turn your back on the council.
They're in England. I don't think they can tell which way my back is facing.
Giles, talk to her.
I have nothing to say right now.
Wesley, go back to your council and tell them until the next layer comes along, they can close up shop. I'm not working for them anymore.
Don't you see what's happening? Faith poisoned Angel to distract you. To keep you out of the mayor's way, and it's working. But we need a strategy.
I have a strategy. You're not in it.
This is mutiny.
I like to think of it as graduation.
It's one of my top 15 or so moments in Buffy.
Yeah. And it is like, it's so fitting that this happened at this time. Because, you know, it's honestly like about damn time, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how this didn't happen after the 18th birthday, but truthfully, like,
yeah,
the Watchers Council not only don't offer any real support or
anything at all.
Anything
for her.
At all for her. But the idea that they're so disconnected that Faith's running rampant, killing people, Buffy's doing everything she can to continue the fight, and they're not even gonna help her when she asks directly, the one time that she's really ever asked them for anything, because it's their policy not to help vampires in this very specific, they should understand that this is different circumstances scenario. Like, they're not willing to throw her just the tiniest of scraps. Yeah. She done. This would be nothing for them.
Yeah.
Apparently it's nothing for the gang either. Buffy kind of just tells Giles that she can't stay any longer. And so she goes back to the Kim lab, and Willow's just like, oh, it wasn't that hard to find it. So there you go. There's your real support system. Screw the Watchers Council. And they're talking about trying to find a cure, and they haven't really figured out. They know that it's possible, but they haven't found like an exact account that details it yet. But fortunately, while they're talking about it, Oz stumbles right upon what they need, but is hesitant to reveal the information. Willow goes and verifies that, yes, this is what we need. But then also it's just like, oh. And Xander has this line of, come on, guys, the suspense is killing Angel, which I love. Great line. Fabulous line. And then, yeah, Oz finally explains that in order for the poison to be cured, Angel would have to drain the blood of a slayer. And then there's this long pause on Buffy's face as she's absorbing this information. And then she just says, good. And you're like, oh, damn. Oh, damn. Like,
good. What did I miss? And she's like, nope. Angel needs to drain a slayer. I'll bring him one.
And she'll even kill her first.
Yeah. Then we're in the library. Willow's like searching for stuff on the internet. And it's kind of an attempt to explain how Buffy gets to Faith's apartment.
Yeah.
Like they're looking for a address. And it's a little moment when Oz touches Willow and she just closes her eyes. She's so in love.
Aww, the babies.
Buffy says, you know, you guys should relieve Giles after a while. Watch over Angel. Buffy goes, like, she's like, it's time. And Xander kind of tries to point out how serious this is to her. And she's like, yeah, no, I'm going to do this. And just give me an address. Yeah, we have a scene where Buffy is kind of splashing water on her face and kind of gathering her resolve to do what she's going to do. And she goes to her locker to get clothes out of that she's going to fight Faith in. And I'm not sure why there's anything left in her locker when she's going to come back to the school except for a graduation tomorrow. So apparently she still has clothes and books and everything else at the school.
Going back just a second, there is that exchange. And like, I wanna give Xander his little moment in the spotlight because I think this is a nice moment where Xander's like, I just don't want to lose you. And Buffy's like, I won't get hurt. And Xander says, that's not what I mean. And you know, like, this is a big deal in a lot of respects. It kind of falls apart in places of Buffy because there are definitely times where the weird morality that exists in the Buffyverse where Buffy's just like, you don't kill humans, definitely falls apart in moments of the show. But like up until this point, like it's been pretty solid that's Buffy's morality. And this is premeditated that she's gonna go and she's gonna murder Faith. And she's already kind of showing signs of being so disconnected, of being so like in her own resolve of this is what I gotta do, so singularly focused. And I think it's interesting to get this messaging from Xander and have it not be about Angel, even though it's definitely about Angel, but have Xander not play the Angel card in this moment and instead play the I don't want to lose you card, I think shows a nice moment between these two and some growth of their characters when you look at the past exchanges and how, like, I feel like season two Xander would have been like, you're not gonna do this for Angel, you know? Whereas here, yeah, he's just very genuinely concerned and showing that she's scaring him, which is, I mean, true. Like, she's very determined in this moment, and she's not really wanting to discuss any other possibilities here. So that's I don't know. It's a nice Xander moment. I gotta point him out when we come across them. So yeah, there is a little bit of a montage through all of this, and Willow's got the address, and Buffy shows up at Faith's apartment. And oh boy.
Oh yeah.
Oh boy.
I don't even know how to tell this and give it.
Yeah.
You just have to watch.
So
watch it.
Yeah, it's so good. The back and forth that's just setting up the moment when Buffy says there's a cure and then goes your blood when Faith inquires about it, and Faith just has that moment of being like, well, damn. Like, her eyes get kind of wide and she's considering, and then she's just like, you're not going to take me alive. And Buffy's just not a problem, and it just continues to escalate, and you know I'm putting in some sound clip here because oh my god.
Yes. Oh yes.
You told me I was just like you, that I was holding it in. Ready to cut loose? Try me. Okay, then. Give us a kiss.
All that sexual tension finally releasing. And then they fight.
Yeah.
They fight. No. And
she says a comment. Faith says, "Well, look at you all dressed up in big sister's clothes."
Yes.
And I've seen people like online reference this line as kind of a hint that dawn is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that they had that planned out so far in advance that they were hinting at it.
Yeah, I don't think this line is
five, they were going to give her a little sister.
It's definitely at this time, though, because next episode is going to have a big foreshadow, FYI. This one, however, I think it's just, I don't feel like, well, maybe it could be. I could see it.
I don't know. I don't know if it seems odd that they didn't plan that so far.
Dawn's already planned, though, because do you not know the Little Miss Muffet line? I'm gonna have
in
stuff.
The next episode,
yeah. I'm gonna have stuff to say about the Little Miss Muffet line. All of season five is foreshadowed in like the next episode. It's brilliant.
Okay.
So they fight, as I said before. They fight a whole bunch. They punch and kick and do all the fighty things.
One of the script directions says that, and you'll have to excuse my language, but it says Buffy punches Faith so fucking hard her head nearly snaps off.
Oh damn! There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, we're allowed one F-bomb and still be considered PG-13, so we're good.
I mean, what the script says. And it says that they are a blur of moves and blocks, kicks and counters in a brutal but balletic? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
We're saying ballet-like.
Yeah.
But intelligent rage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great fight scene. It really is. It's brutal.
And halfway through the fight, Buffy handcuffs Faith to her.
Mm-hmm.
Faith went running away.
Mm-hmm. Couple quick cuts in the middle of the fight to kind of just do our wrapping up some stuff from the episode bits. Angel's being taken care of by Willow and Oz at the moment. Giles has figured something out, and he says that the legend of Olokai might be a bastardization of Olvikan, I guess. And Xander's just like, I don't know what you mean. And Giles says it's a demon, a very old one, and that there might be a picture, to which they open a book to the demon, and it has a fold out.
Yeah, it's the fold out.
It's the centerfold of this book of demons, and they fold it all out. Mm-hmm. And Xander just says, "We're gonna need a bigger boat."
Yes, I love that line.
And then we have the mayor enjoying his delicious spiders and mentions that there's so much power in these creatures and that his organs are shifting and making him ready for the ascension. Plus, they're high in fiber, which is good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Always good to be high in fiber.
And then we have our vampire lackeys, which we can tell because they're in vamp face, come in and talk about how that there might be some trouble at Faith's, and we cut back and there's some trouble at Faith. Buffy's there still fighting her. They're still continue to fight, and they have a couple of one-liners, but the one that of course always stands out to me is when Buffy finally pulls out Faith's blade after she breaks free from the handcuffs, and Faith says, "That's mine," and Buffy's like, "You're about to get it back," and you're just like,
yeah,
woof. And they fight some more, getting closer and closer to the edge of the building, and Faith starts to like lean them over the edge, but Buffy breaks free and then jabs the knife into Faith's stomach, and Faith says, "You did it," and then pushes her back and then declares that Buffy has killed her. Mm-hmm. And then looks over the edge of the building to see a truck driving by and says that it still won't help her boy, and says that Buffy should have been there. It was quite a ride. And this is, I believe, a callback to her jumping off the 40-foot high cliff into the water as she falls back and lands in the truck and is carted away as Buffy stares in very much shock. Lots of shock happening. Faith is presumed dead, and Buffy did it. Buffy killed her. We get a big old to be continued.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cliffhanger.
It is. Kind of literally. Not exactly literally, but kind of literally. She falls off a cliff-like-esque thing. But yeah.
I still don't really see the... I mean, I get jumping off something. I don't 100% get the connection.
Yeah. I think that's what they were going for. I don't think it landed as well as it could have. Pun intended. But... I think that that's what they were going for. I think that that call out before, where, and it's like the last exchange between her and the mayor, and she randomly comes up with a story, and then it's kind of a scenario that she's jumping off the cliff, right? She tells the mayor about the story about how she was so brave to jump off this cliff. All the other kids were scared. She jumps off the cliff in order to, again, beat Buffy, right? And to kind of win one last time for the mayor, right? Because she's not going to get the chance to cure Angel with Faith's blood. And so, like, I definitely see that that's a moment of connection there, of her being like, I'm still doing this for the mayor. Like, the whole jumping off the roof at that point is, this is my chance to follow through with what plan we set out. And also get one last jab in at Buffy, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, this is the problem with this episode. Is like, it's so good. I just don't have a lot to say about it. It's just so damn good. Like, this final scene, this fight scene, and all of the lines and the deliveries, and just, it's really good.
Yeah, it is very good.
So, part two,
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk about Dawn a whole bunch in part two, okay?
Just don't see it.
This has been Graduation Day, part one. We'll be back with part two next time, and we thank you all so much for listening, and this is where we say bye.
Bye.